fresh fish flown in just for you. Regardless, Spiro's has it. Add in a full-service bar, massive wine list, and their famous salad, and you have a dining experience you can't pass up. Of course that sounds great. They cater any size get-together, or they can host your private party. Check it all out at Spiro's-Restaurants.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep.
Yeah, gold dust at your feet, blah,
just
blah, blah. Just direct your feet. Nice out of the street, gold dust at your feet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know.
Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy turn is your step. Life can be so sweet.
Is this me singing?
It is. Sunny side of the street.
Sounds
I used to walk in the shade.
Me whistling, no.
With those
blues. A contest to have on the radio. Who's whistling? Yeah, let one of us whistle until I can figure out who it is. It'd be really stupid.
And if you find yourself with some young sexy thing, you're gonna have to do her with your ding-a-ling. Cause you can't say penis. So.
Yes, you can.
You can't I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet.
Everybody bring it home, all listeners. Sunnyside
Street.
There you go. It's a Thursday, but it's my Friday. It's like Friday to me.
You couldn't say pee before, and you had to say tinkle, right?
According to
the FCC?
No, the FCC never said you couldn't say pee. You could say pee.
Okay.
That was never a banned word you couldn't say.
Hey, I have...
You could always say penis. You could say penis forever.
I have a bone to pick with... I think it's Trevor.
With me?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, crap. What have I done?
Well, I...
Let me introduce everybody so they know who you are, okay? The man who has a bone to pick is Dan Strauss. Dan, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
the guy whose bone will be picked is Limey Phillips. Limey, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
The man who's not in this fight or doesn't have a dog in this hunt, I don't think, is Tim Woodburn. Tim, say hello to everybody.
Well, penis.
See, he always has to do something. He has to do something like that. I just can't stand it
when somebody tells me I can't say something.
No, we just established you can say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me edit that out. Let me hold on. Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody.
All right, and then there's me. Dan, what is this bone you have?
Well, you know, you have those adapters on your headphones to go in. You have those little RCA jacks or the big jack there,
mm-hmm.
the quarter inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that I was in here and we were in
the studio.
They're
called RCA jacks. They're called mini plugs.
Okay, mini plugs. Okay, so we were sitting in the studio that I'm in, my quarantine studio. And Tim needed some headphones, and he was checking some headphones out. And I think I remember Trevor saying, "Oh, just take that adapter there." And so I came.
That's the worst British accent I've ever heard.
So we get ready to go on the air, and I look, and my headphones aren't plugged in, and my adapter is missing.
That would make me mad.
So now...
Adapter and headphones are the lifeblood.
I think Limey gave this to me to check out. Since I forgot my headphones today, he gave me this to bring in here.
I did do that.
So it looks like I do have a dog in this hunt.
I did do that.
Here.
That happened.
Limey, turn my mic off while I go into the quarantine room.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Oh.
Isn't the expression a dog in this fight?
Yeah, we can
do it.
Dog fighting is so
frowned upon.
Bad. Yeah, you can't use that expression. I didn't have a dog in this fight. So you have to say hunt. You know, make people happy.
Oh.
So have we resolved this?
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
No. I'm glad we've moved forward.
Yeah, we have. Now, this is the day that Scott Sherman comes in. He'll be in here next hour, folks. I'm going to...
He's here in the studio now.
Well...
He's in a quarantine.
I know that, but he's going to have his time next hour. Okay. So
just kind of he'll sit tight. He'll doodle and make scratch of some pictures of naked women or something while he waits.
And he's waiting for food to be delivered. So
he'll be here in the 4 o'clock hour to help you with your legal stuff, free answers to whatever your questions are about legal things. Let me give the numbers out. In case you need them for anything, you call us for anything, or for Scott if you want to get the jump on everybody else, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Does anybody have anything to say? No Burke segment.
No Burke segment. Ask them.
So we move on. We just move on. Folks, we're down to the wire here. I'm going to take a couple of minutes, and I'm going to beg. And you're just going to have to let me. A week from Saturday is... I'm hearing myself on an echo. What is that? Is it Dan? Is that switch again?
It's probably Dan. I'm going to go ahead and say Dan's fault.
It's not my fault.
Let's blame it on him anyway. So it's a trivia night. It's the 19th, which is a week from Saturday. And I have told you, I've asked you a month in advance. What are you saying, Dan? Dan, what are you saying?
I was doing an echo.
Oh, wait, now I hear like a tinny effect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of hear something. What's going on?
That's not me. I swear it's not me.
Right. This is serious. This is St. Jude Children's Hospital for children. So, I gave everybody plenty of notice, and a few people wrote checks, but not nearly as many as I thought would. So here's the deal. It's crunch time. If you would, today or tomorrow, so we can have it get in there next week, if you would write, if you can, a check for $100 or $200 or $300, make it increments of $100, I will tell you right now, the people who have written checks and who have entries in this drawing to sit at our trivia table, they don't have a whole lot of competition. You got a pretty good shot if you're in there, because there aren't a lot of names in there, a lot of entries. I was hoping there would be. I thought if we do this way, instead of the high bidder, where only people with $3,000 get to do anything, I thought this will work. It hasn't worked yet. We have some money, we have some checks, but not enough. So if you would, and then I will know next week all of the people and how many entries each person has. We'll put them all in and draw later next week. But if you'll go to facebook.com/AM and the PM, you'll find the address where to send your check to Window World Cares. You make the check out to Window World Cares. Let's say it's $300. You get three entries because they let me know what checks came in that had AM and the PM on it. And put that down there on that notation memo thing. Put AM and the PM. They'll know. They'll know where the credit should go, and that you should be given for every $100 an entry into the drawing. Now, if we'd gotten enough of them, I was going to let one of the winners do dinner with me and my wife and Annie Guns. We don't have enough yet. We don't have enough. So we'll just go with seats at the table. The other thing one guy did is he sent in $500 and doesn't want to be entered in the contest. He just wants to meet me. Easy. I can do that. That's a no-brainer. That I'm happy to do that for $500. So please, folks, give this some thought. Next week, I hope to get a note from Window World Cares. That's their charitable arm, saying, oh, my goodness, all over the weekend we got all these checks, or Monday we got these checks, or Tuesday. By Wednesday, Thursday, it's too late. So help me with that if you could. That would be great. Now, the other thing is, and then I'll get off of this, but the other thing is the full home renovation package. Now I thought I had it here, and now I realize I misplaced it. Bear with me. Hang on. Let me see if I can recover it. And I hope I can.
Don't bend over. Be careful when you bend over.
I'm not bending over.
What happened?
I got it. It's right here.
Might help you
take. Let me run through this one. This won't take long. See, if people didn't hear that, they don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to run through this again. It's a home renovation offer from Window World Cares. I have a current bid of $18,000. This is a $20,000 value. And you say, well, why would I pay more than $20,000 for $20,000? Why would I even pay $20,000? That's not a deal. Yeah, it is a deal. It is a deal because you're getting $20,000 worth. This is for anybody who's going to be remodeling or is building a home. This is a fantastic way for you to do something great for St. Jude Children's Hospital and to get a tremendous package of material and labor from Window World for a whole home renovation. So here's what's in the package. Current bid, $18,000 from a couple about 60 miles north of St. Louis who are remodeling a home, and this was perfect for them. 10 double-hung windows, custom-made to fit each opening. They are Solar Zone Elite Glass in each window with a U factor of 0.32 and SHCG of 0.21. I have no idea what that means, but I think it means really good windows. Vinyl clad aluminum flashing on the exterior of each window, compression foam wrap installation, and spray foam installation on each window. 1,500 square feet of Prodigy fully insulated siding from Window World. Tyvek house wrap for 1,500 square feet. All the accessory items, the vents, the blocks, the J-channel, 200 feet of vinyl soffit, 200 feet of vinyl-clad aluminum fascia, porch ceiling up to 200 square feet, 200 feet of 5-inch gutter with oversized downspouts, a front entry door that has a retail value of $3,000, and a rear entry door with a retail value of $1,000. All of that with labor is worth $20,000. If you're interested and you'd like that, all you have to do is beat the $18,000 bid. Window World is picking up the labor and the material. So your check, all of it, goes to St. Jude. So currently, it's a check for $18,000. I'd like to see $19,000 or $20,000. That would be great. It's up to you. FrankOpinion@yahoo.com. Or you can call us before the show's over at the numbers I just gave you, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Thank you for considering it and for at least thinking of helping, because sometimes if you have the thought, it's as important as doing it, especially when you're not able to do it. I had an interesting thing happen to me this morning. There was a... I'm not going to mention the fast food place, but I ran in and got a breakfast sandwich, and I went in. Normally, I drive through, and I went in, and there was a woman, and she was standing outside, and she was going through trash, and it was obvious that she was dirty, and she was homeless, and she was going to eat garbage. And I said, "Are you hungry?" And she said, "Yes." Now, I will admit, she was talking to herself while she's going through the garbage, picking through trash barrels and looking for something. And so she's probably mentally not right.
Most homeless people are. When they...
What?
Mentally ill.
I disagree.
Really?
I don't think most homeless people are mentally ill. I think a lot of them are just homeless.
I think a majority, I'm going to agree with Dan on that one. A majority of them are probably more mentally disabled than the most.
Yeah,
I bet that's not true. But she was. But she still... When I see somebody digging through a trash barrel for something to eat, I can't stand that. So I took her inside, and the manager was at the cashier's, the register, cash register, and I said, "I'd like to buy this woman breakfast," and she looked at the woman and said, "Get out of here." She said, "You know you can't come in here. You know you've been told you can't come in." And it was embarrassing to me. I felt so bad for this woman, but I get it. I get it. An eating establishment can't afford to have regular people who don't bathe, people who are talking to themselves, they're mentally unstable. They can't have them just sitting around or hanging around the rest. It drives customers away. I get that. But I wish she had done it in a nicer way. I didn't like that she said, "Get out. You know you're not welcome here." So as she's walking out, I said to her, I said, "What do you want? I will get your breakfast." And she said, "Blank, blank sandwich and a coffee." And I said, "Okay." So when she walked outside, I'm talking to this manager, I said, "You know, all I'm trying to do, I'm trying to buy a meal for a woman who's picking through the garbage to look for something to eat. And you talk to her like she's an animal." And she said, "Well, you don't know our history with her. And the police have been called, and they take her in, and then they release her, and they take her in, they release her, and they evaluate her, and they release her. And she's been told many times, you cannot come in the store. I said, but I didn't know that. I said, couldn't you post a sign that said, please don't offer to buy food for homeless people who are loitering? Because there is a sign that says no loitering, but they ought to have a sign that said, please don't offer to buy food. I mean, otherwise, somebody like me who doesn't know is going to come along and offer to buy him something to eat. But I know they're scammers. I know there are people who pretend to be homeless. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that was the case here. Nobody would be this dirty and smell this bad just on a goof. Like, I think I'll get real stinky and I'll eat garbage and I'll scam people. I don't think so. I think some of the people on the exit ramps that hold up the cardboard signs, homeless, veteran, anything will help. Okay, some of those people. But people that go through dumpsters and garbage barrels for food, I don't think they're faking it. I got the food, and I took it out to her, and she thanked me. And then she walked off and immediately started talking to herself again. She was having an argument with herself. And I've seen people do, but you've all probably seen that, haven't you? All of you seen, you've seen somebody walking along, they just have a conversation with themselves, and they'll argue with them, and get mad at themselves.
Yes.
There's nobody there. Mm-hmm. It's just them. And I still hear myself on an echo, and I don't normally hear that. We got to figure out what that is, and we got to fix that. But I wanted to share that story because it's kind of like the signs that say don't feed the geese or something in a park because they don't want people feeding them because then they're coming around, they're pooping all over the place, and they're bugging people. But these aren't geese. They're not animals. They're people, and they're people that have nothing to eat, and they're hungry. And I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know what the solution to that is, but I don't know. I thought I would. And I've gotten to where now I something happened to me the last couple of years. I don't even know what it is. I give $5-$10 to these people, even the ones that could be a scam. But I just figure, well, I'm just going to I'll do it anyway. And hopefully if half the people I do that with really needed it, all right. $5 is not going to change my life. $10, give it away. I'm not going to go hungry because of it.
Nine and a half out of ten times, those people are taking that money that you give them and either buying liquor with it or buying drugs.
Well, in this case, I actually bought the food. I did that twice this week.
No, the food's fine, yeah.
Twice this week, I bought a meal, an actual meal for somebody. But I agree with you. You give them money, they'll go buy cigarettes or they'll go buy booze. Well, okay. But I thought I was doing something good. So I felt pretty good about it when I did it and when I do it. And it's too bad there are people that are frauds. They're not really homeless. They just are lazy. If you'd put up a sign, a cardboard sign, hold it up and said, I'm lazy and I don't want to work. Would you give me a dollar? I think I'd give somebody a dollar just for being honest. You know, just at least you're honest about it. Just say, I'm lazy. I'm not really a veteran. Sometimes I say I am, but I'm not. I'm kind of hungry, but I could probably buy my own food. And the only reason I can is because I make pretty good money doing what I'm doing right now. Could I have a buck? I'd probably give him a dollar. I'd go, hey, thanks for telling the truth. You're the only person with a cardboard sign I've ever seen tell the truth. All right, we got to take a break. And we come out of the break, we're going to some traffic. We got out of traffic. We'll say hello to John Londoff. And before you know it, it'll be 4 o'clock, and Scott Sherman will be here. We'll also have time to kick around and talk with you after, unless John Londoff is really long-winded, we'll try to move him along so that we can take a couple of calls. Again, if you need us for anything or if you want to talk to Scott Sherman, hang on to these numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. And here to introduce traffic and get ready to listen to Tori Lyons sound like she has a pillow over her face. I don't know why we can't fix that. Here is Dan Strauss.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Here's Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Best Fiends, your next favorite puzzle game. Accident eastbound 70 at 4 Estelle. Worse than that, a traffic incident and road work. Eastbound 44 at Shrewsbury, only the left lane open. Eastbound 44 drivers are jammed. Bumper to bumper, westbound 44 southwest to Shrewsbury. Westbound 64 Heavy Kings Highway to Big Bend. Eastbound heavy 170 to Big Bend, and westbound 70, you're backing up at Lucas and Hunt. After tackling the commute, reward yourself with Best Fiends, the addictive 5-star rated mobile game where you solve puzzles and collect characters. 80 million people have already downloaded it for free. Best Fiends from the Apple Store or Google Play. That's Fiends without the R. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had beef tenderloin with a tangy Greek sauce sliced into juicy medallions that are so tender you can eat them with a butter knife? It's called the pepper loin, and that's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know, the place located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Lester Sports Bar and Grill takes bar food to a whole new level. They offer a full menu of made-from-scratch items and brine their corned beef in-house. Stop in for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and enjoy $6 select appetizers, plus discounted pitchers, buckets, drafts, wells, and wine. Visit Lester's on Clayton Road near Highway 40, or view Lester's menu at lestersrestaurant.com. Lester's, a sports bar that serves up great food, or a great restaurant that serves up sports. You'll just have to decide at Lester's.
Every year, fitness, health, and wellness seems to make big strides to help people in their quest to reach new levels of fitness. Yet, we still have more obese people in the U.S. than any other country. One Nation Nutrition wants to start a revolution of change in health and wellness. No fad diets or false promises. Instead, real help for people to reach their goals. Join the One Nation Nutrition revolution today, because being more fit, healthy, pain-free, energized, and revitalized is possible now. One Nation Nutrition has the most knowledgeable staff and the best products, so you can be sure you're getting what you need to reach your goals, big or small. There's no magic pill, but there is help. The One Nation Nutrition stores in Winsville, O'Fallon, and coming now to St. Peter's will get you on a program that, with some effort, you too can see major results. Bottom line, it's time to join One Nation, and together, let's reach those goals. Come in today and see how.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
On a highway, this guy's bracing himself for a huge weekend because it's summertime and living is easy. Yeah, right into summer. Forget spring. Spring, we skipped it. So people have car buying fever, and we know where to send them to see this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, John Londo.
Hello. Please hold the applause.
You know, it's summer-like enough that you can almost give away with every car. You know those reflective things you put in the windshield to keep the car from getting real hot when it's parked out in the sun? I mean, we instantly went to 90-degree weather.
Yeah, don't get too technical with us now. Those reflective things.
But, what would you call them?
A reflector. A sun reflector.
So reflector is better than that reflective thing in the windshield.
Thing, yeah.
A reflector to me is like a taillight on a bike. Like, that's a reflector. This is a reflective panels that stretch across the windshield.
We knew we were going to go straight. Wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago it was in the 30s?
Yes.
Now here we are in the 90s.
Yep.
But you know what? Oh, I love it. I love the summertime. I think all car buyers love the summertime. I know you love the summertime, Frank.
I sure do, John.
That's it, buddy. I knew it. I could tell. You like to perspire. It's good for you. It's healthy.
No, I like to go on the boat, and I like to fish. System. You like to duck hunt, and I like to fish. I like to go out on the boat, and I like to pull my grandson around on a tube, and I like to fish. And that's why I'm glad summer's here.
You're so lucky. have a grandson.
I am lucky. I'm the luckiest person I know. Yeah.
You are lucky. You are lucky, lucky, lucky. But we should just start calling you Lucky. Lucky Frankie.
That's a joke. I just did that joke last week. The joke, just call me Lucky. Yeah, it's a great joke.
Well, that's good. It's good to be lucky. Better to be lucky. But so will you watch any of the players' tournaments, the golf tournament going on right now?
No.
No? Okay. No. Have you heard about that that island hole? It's the 17th, number 17.
I saw a picture of it this morning. Yeah, I saw the picture.
Yeah. All right. Well, I played that years ago. And we were able to, take multiple shots at it. So my first shot went in the water. My second shot went in the water. Finally, I was lucky enough to catch a bunker. It landed in the sand trap. I'm like, phew, about time. But that's a lot of fun.
Well, it's like a target. I mean, it's like you're trying to hit a target, a floating target. It's just a small space, and you better be good if you're going to land that ball on there.
Surrounded by water. The water.
How often do you play golf? How often do you play golf now? Let's say this year, how often would you play?
No, not that often. I am going to pick it back up again. But when I tore a hamstring 5 years ago, I have a perfect excuse not to golf any longer. It has nothing to do. Your hamstring has really nothing to do. Maybe a little bit, with your, follow through, but really has nothing to do with a golf swing. So that's when I thought, well, I'll start running and working out more. But I do really enjoy the game. It's a great game, frustrating. When I did not own the store completely, when my dad and I were business partners, I was lucky to have such a great guy as my business partner. Thursdays, like today, would be like a day off. I would work in the morning and then meet some people. We'd golf on a Thursday. Then I'd maybe golf early on a Saturday morning and early on Sunday mornings. But when I owned all of it, once I bought the whole store for my dad, I'm like, it's not as much fun being out here as a 100% owner. When I was a 40% owner versus my dad owning 16%, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, I can take a little time off, but now, no. And then the phone's going off, the iPhone's going off, and, it just was not relaxing. So, now that I got such a great team at Johnny Long Duff Chevrolet, I might just take it back up again. Let's go golfing. Well, how about you?
I've played golf two times in the last 2 years, once a year. That's it. But I went through a 10-year phase, 10, 12 years, where I tried to play a couple times a week. I did. I just, it's too long. I'm a 12-hole, 9-hole, great, maybe 12. After 12, you start to go, what hole are we on? How much more do we have? It's too long. I will probably play again if I know I can put together a little a foursome, let's say, or even two of us that are equally bad. That's fun. That's fun golf to me. But the rest is not.
How about the two of us then? We should have the two of us. We should probably have a camera crew.
We could do that. We'll do that. We'll do that this year. We'll do that this year. You've got a place to play. I don't really have a place to play. For a long, long time, I had a complimentary membership to a country club. It was all complimentary. It was great. And then the owner died, and the family sold the country club. And there goes my country club. But there are a lot of nice public places where I could play. I just don't make an effort because it's, I don't know, get the club, throw them in the car, go park the car, go get the club, get the car, go out and go, head to, and before you know it, 5 hours is gone. It's a lot of time. You gotta have a lot of time. You gotta have the day. To really enjoy it, you gotta have the whole day.
Would you walk?
Heavens, no. Walk a cart with a cart on wheels? No, heck no. Riding the golf cart's half the fun of golfing, is the cart.
You have a caddy. They carry
I don't want a caddy. No. I don't want a caddy. Caddies tell you what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. I'm bad. I know I'm bad. I'll stay bad. I'll play with other bad people.
A lot of golf courses, don't allow you to really pull that golf cart, put it, anywhere. You have to, bam, go a 90-degree angle to your ball. When you walk, not only do you get into the game a little bit more, but it goes quicker, but it's a little more exercise than maybe you want to do.
Right? I like the car. You have drinks on the car, an ice cooler on the car, and all your stuff. I like the car. I like the golf cart.
Okay, all right, then we'll have a golf cart.
All right, choice of golf cart, gas or electric, which is your favorite?
Electric today. I used to love gas golf carts because it's all they had. But, you know, I've been around gasoline my whole life. You know what I, how about when you get pumping your own gas and you get gasoline on your hands?
You can't get that smell off for a while.
I just, well, with this nose, heck no. Are you kidding me? I'll smell it for like a month. No, I mean, you can't scrub it out of there. You just, you know, you like, you know, don't want to grab a, like a hand towel and then grab the nozzle. People looking at, who's this guy with the hand towel? Going to pump his own gas. Kind of a weirdo. I don't like gasoline. You know, my hands, and I've been around it my whole life. I started pumping gas when I was a kid.
Man, I love the smell of gas. I love the smell of gasoline. I do, and I'll tell you why. It reminds me of being a kid when I used to cut grass, and I'd push a mower, and I'd have my gas can with me. And it reminds me of the kid next door who had a moped, and he'd mix the oil and gas, put it in his motorbike, and I'd hear that ring, ding, 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 ding. And then there was a kid with a go kart who a couple blocks away, and it ran on gas, and I had a paper route. And the kid that had the biggest paper route was the only kid with a motor scooter. Everybody else had a bike. Well, he could cover more territory because he had a scooter. And when he'd come along and the paper drop, I'd smell that gas and that scooter. I love the smell of gas because it makes me think of being a kid. And when you're a boy, most boys, the thought of having something that pulls you around, a go-kart, a golf cart, a homemade contraption where you take a self-propelled mower and put it in front of a wagon and pull yourself around. Anything to simulate having a car is a huge deal when you're a boy.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Well, you know what? I had a mini bike when I was young. I loved you know, motocross bikes until I had a little run-in with a tree. I really probably shouldn't be around right now, but I was young enough and smart enough, I guess, to jump off the thing because I just hit a bad spot and it was out of control and boom, almost ran into a tree. But no, I love I like the smell, I guess. I just at this stage in my life, I've been around it so much, I don't like, you know, when I can smell when we're doing a repair in the shop with a gas tank. Yeah. You're gonna pull on that, like, okay, open up the doors.
Well, if it make you sick, if you're too close to it too long, it can make you sick. But I'm gonna tell you, when I was 16 years old, I got a 60cc Bridgestone motorbike, and I got it because I had to work after school, and we only had one car, so it was a way for me to go to work. But at the same time, it was a motorbike. I thought I was gonna explode. I was so excited. I don't remember in my life being anything any more excited about anything than I was when I straddled that motorbike, knowing it was my motorbike, and I'm 16 years old. Oh my! I drove it to school because again we didn't have another car. My dad had the car, and I took it to school. I took it to work. It rained. Didn't matter. I had a bike, and only about 5 kids in all of the high school had motorbikes or motorcycles, motor scooters. So you were kind of special if you had a motorbike, because I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't president of this or that. I had to go to work right after school, but I had a bike, motorbike. So there's a cool factor that goes with it. You
bet. Are cool. You're still cool.
No. Yeah. I just had a motorbike.
You're very cool, and I can tell you this much. Everyone, all the people listening right now, and they can have listened for so many years, AM and the PM people, they are cool. Come on.
Hey, you know what? So I just got a great idea. Yeah. No, I just got a great idea. And think of this. Think of the publicity and the PR for your dealership.
Yes,
this fall, or maybe for Christmas, maybe for my birthday, you surprise me, and I mean stun me, by presenting me with that same exact motorcycle that you had on your lot that somebody traded in, one just like it, and you present it to me and go, here, thanks for all the business you've sent us. Here are the keys and here's the title to your Indian motorcycle. Or Harley. I'd go with a Harley again, too.
So you said
just
that
don't answer now. Don't answer now. Just think about it, because think of the public relations. TV would probably cover it. No, don't answer, because you're not thinking it through. Yeah, you're not thinking it through, though, from a public relations standpoint. Dealer gives radio guy motorcycle.
When I get an invoice for these spots, which are great, and I know I get much more time on the air than I should, but when I get an invoice, aren't I kind of paying you then? Or am I not like paying for great service?
Yeah, you are. Okay. Yeah, you are. That's why it would be so unexpected. That's why it would be such a great surprise.
It will be unexpected because it's probably not going to happen. What?
Hey, you're not paying me, so my birthday's coming up August 4th. I'll take a car.
Yeah, get him a motorcycle. Get Dan a motorcycle.
Out of nowhere. Who woke you up, by the way, Dan? Come on. You're so
back to sleep. All this free talk.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, we are getting ready for a big weekend. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And I just want to, tomorrow marks 8 years that the great Johnny Londoff Sr., my father, passed away, and I cannot believe it. I just cannot believe it's 8 years ago. But man, still lives large. Talk about
Do you still carry on his tie tradition by any chance?
We still have about 50 of those ties left. God
for people who don't know, his dad, John's dad, had this unbelievable, I don't know where he got all these ties. I don't know where he went to buy these ties, but he had more ties. And the first time I went in and knew we were going to do business together, and we'd shaken hands and okay, he said, all right, my dad's going to come over. He's going to give you a tie. Sure enough, he walks over and he gives me two ties, like a red one and a blue one. And then he said, if you don't like those, you could pick from one of these. And he opens this box, this thing up. It's like 100, 200 ties in there. I just thought that was, I thought that was great. I wondered if you still did anything like that.
So he used to give a bottle of Canadian Club. You know, he grew up in a tavern. My grandpa had at one time three taverns, Harry Londoff, his father, my grandpa. And so my dad grew up as a kid working in the tavern. So a bottle of booze, though he didn't drink that much at all, a bottle of booze was saying, hey, here, thank you. He would give a fifth of Canadian Club. It used to be Johnny Walker Red Label. And then I guess that got a little too expensive, so he said, hey, Canadian Club's still great, right? Great whiskey. And one day, I had been saying, Pop, I don't think you should give a bottle of booze to people. There has to be something else. So a lady who was the head of the chapter for Moms Against Drunk Drivers saw someone leave my dad's office and thank you. And he's walking out with a fifth of Canadian Club, and we went and talked to my dad. She goes, can I please talk to him? I'm like, yes. And they both had a tearful moment. And he goes, son, what am I going to do now? He goes, I just bought 24 cases of that. Stuff. He didn't say stuff. So he ended up giving that away during the holidays to law enforcement, Florissant PD and Florissant Fire Protection and St. Louis County PD and whatnot. So again, my dad, this great guy, man. Then he said, what am I going to do? I'm like, what about ties? He goes,
oh, so the tie was your idea? That was you taking credit for that? Idea.
He goes, what am I going to do? I'm like, well, I said, what about, think about something. He's like, ties. I'll give ties. I said, all right, ties for the guys and perfume for the girls. Ladies. He goes, no, I'll give the ladies ties and they can give them to their husband. He ended up getting some perfume for the women, too. But
I have an idea, John. You could give out some bottles of booze and then give them Scott Sherman's business card along with it.
Yeah, no.
See, that's implying they're going to drink and drive. That's a horrible idea. But, people have gotten way too...
I would hope that... I really, really hope and pray that, the DWIs are down because of Uber. I don't know if you use it, but, even as old as I am, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use it because if I'm going out and I'm going to drive a distance and I'm going to have a drink or two or three...
Can I tell you why I never mentioned Uber? I've taken Uber. I've tried Uber, especially out of town. But I will tell you why I never talk about Uber. Out of respect for Dave McNutt, who owns Laclede Cab. Laclede Cab, over many, many years, spent money on this show. And then, now they can't. And they can't because of Uber. Uber came along and kicked a lot of cab company business to the curb. And they got every right to do what they do, but I still have this loyalty thing to Laclede Cab because of the time they did spend here, even though they're not now. So I don't think I've ever even mentioned Uber till just now. So you asked me, and yes, I have taken. My daughter introduced me to it. No, my daughter introduced me to it.
Laclede Cab.
She introduced me to it.
My boys had accounts with, and still do probably, with Laclede Cab. So listen, it's going to be a great weekend. Okay, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, here we are. Getting closer. Tomorrow's the 11th of May. Again, God bless John Londoff Sr., greatest guy I ever knew. And we're going to have a great weekend, and appreciate all you do, Mr. Spinion, and the AM and the PM crowd. Please make sure that when you call 314-837-1800, you say I'm AM and the PM. Bam, you will go right.
Yeah, say it proudly.
Okay? Exactly. We love the AM and the PM crowd. So have a great rest of your show. Tell Scott hello. Great guy. And okay. Is it good to have Dan back?
Sure it is.
Yes.
Can I use
sure it is. Sure it is, question mark. Sure it is.
All right. We'll have a great rest.
All right. Brace yourself for all the business we're going to send you.
We're ready.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, John.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Probably the greatest compliment that you could be paid by one of your kids is to say, my dad was the greatest person I ever knew. That's the greatest compliment I think you could be paid by one of your kids. So good for him and good for them. Johnny Londoff, Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Is this John? Is John still holding?
He is still holding.
Yes, been good.
Oh my goodness! This is loyalty that deserves some kind of reward. We don't have any rewards. John, thank you for holding. What can we do for you?
Nope.
Maybe he's not holding.
Maybe he's not holding.
Oh,
I wouldn't have held 20-something minutes.
Oh well.
No.
I don't blame him if he's not here. So so forever and ever and ever. There was a TV show that held the record for most episodes aired. In other words, more episodes of this show were aired than any other show. But it has just been surpassed by another show. Let's start with the show that forever and ever and ever... Tim, do not Google this.
I left my laptop at home today, so I'm not Googling anything.
Yeah, you have a phone, and under the counter, you have a phone.
Hands up, don't shoot.
Until this year, what was the TV show that aired more episodes than any other TV show in history?
I'll guess MASH.
Ooh, man, I was going to go
You know that MASH is not even in the top 10?
Wow. See, that's how dumb I am.
And I would have thought MASH, too. And you know why? Because of all the reruns we used to have to watch on Channel 2. Remember after the news? Every night it was a MASH rerun. But no, MASH is not in the top 10.
Lucille Ball?
So we just talking...
That's like, not in the top 10.
Wow.
So we just talking just new episodes, like doesn't include...
Number of actual different episodes, not reruns, actual episodes, and, more episodes.
You're not counting soap operas, correct?
You can't because... No, not counting... They don't count soap operas.
All right, then.
And it says top 10 TV shows. I would think... Well,
I'm gonna,
you can't count soap operas because that's just a different animal.
I'll guess The Simpsons.
Oh, you bugger. I was gonna guess
Simpsons is the show that just took the lead.
Wow.
When they hit 636 episodes.
Wow.
But what was the show that up until a couple of weeks ago... At 635 episodes was the show with more episodes aired on TV than any other. What was that show?
Wow.
Give us a decade.
Wait.
Right?
60s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on.
Lucille Ball, isn't it?
No, Lucy's not on here.
Johnny Carson show?
I'll tell you what it is.
Dick Van Dyke?
It's Gunsmoke.
Oh, wow.
Gunsmoke?
James Arness.
I don't think I ever watched a single
episode. Went 600... Well, they had
635 episodes.
Wow. And they had Chester, and then they had Festus, right?
Festus, yeah.
Who was Chester?
And Burt Reynolds' first real TV role was as Quint Asper, the blacksmith on Gunsmoke.
Oh, and Chester was Dennis Weaver, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that blows me away. Number three with 591 episodes is Lassie.
Wow.
Lassie.
I had no idea there were that many Lassie episodes.
I wonder how many different Lassies there were making all those Lassies.
Oh, a bunch of them. A bunch. And they were all male dogs with a girl name. But the hair down there covered the genitalia. Number four, Law and Order. I've never watched one Law and Order.
Oh, that's a great
show. To watch a lot of SVU.
Great show. It's a great show because you don't have to have seen the previous one to understand the current. Every one is like its own new isolated show.
See, that's good. I like that. Yeah. I would try to watch one if I could understand it without having seen another one. Number five, this one stuns me. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet? 435 episodes.
Well, God, there was only four channels for 30 years. I mean, you know, those shows that came on, boy, they just kept on going.
They ran and ran and ran. Number five is Bonanza. I mean, six is Bonanza. Seven is Law and Order Special Victims Unit. I've never watched that either. Next, in seventh place of the top ten, My Three Sons.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a corny show.
They had Uncle Charlie and then Bub.
Uncle Charlie.
See, Bub was Fred Frawley.
Man, you got a great memory. The guy who played the dad,
Ed McMurray. Fred McMurray.
Yeah. In ninth place, out of the 10 TV shows with the most episodes aired, Dallas. And then 10th is NCIS. I've not seen any one of these shows. NCIS, Law and Order, Special Victim. I've never seen any.
The reason why Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and NCIS are in the top 10 is because those shows shouldn't even count. Because they intertwined different actors throughout all of those years and all those runs. It was just different characters, like Attorney General or the prosecuting attorney or a detective investigating something. Ricky Schroeder was on Law and Order for a while. You know, it's like they just kept rotating people in doing the same things over and over again. It wasn't like the same actors were on those shows for all those episodes. It shouldn't even count.
Has anybody in this room ever wanted to be on television?
Yes.
Limey, you have.
I have.
Did you do anything about it? Did you try to get on TV?
I did not, actually. I had no idea how to get into that world, and then I ended up just picking a career in catering. I'd still love to get into TV, but I have absolutely no idea what to do.
If I got into TV, I would want to do a kid's show.
You'd be perfect.
Yeah, you'd be great.
No, you would. You'd be perfect for a kid's show.
I'll tell you what, I have a degree in broadcast journalism. I was a sports TV anchor in Columbia, Missouri
Hold on. You have a degree in broadcast journalism? Yeah, you can't be on this show.
We talked about it last week.
What's wrong with you?
You can't be on here. This is a show of misfits without an education.
You're too smart. I know.
Well, let me tell you something.
You're too smart.
I'm going to warn all you guys about a career in TV. I have never in my life met a more arrogant gaggle of people in a certain profession than people in TV. It's unbelievable. Even lawyers or police officers, people who are in television, they're the most egocentric and arrogant individuals I've ever met in my life.
Now, see, Larry Connors is not going to burst in here and punch your life, knock your life, because he's not in TV anymore.
Exactly. He's not in TV anymore. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like the story you told yesterday about J.C. Corcoran running in and grabbing the microphone and tearing you up. People do that in TV all the time. I mean, you say one bad word about somebody on or off the air. I mean, and they just go absolutely ballistic because their egos are so outrageously inflated. It's unbelievable. It's actually a sick world to work in.
Oh, I think there's no comparison. TV people, even local TV people.
Here comes Larry.
Uh oh. Oh my goodness! Here we go. Now you know what he's going to do. Yeah, he's going to agree with you.
Oh, you just said people you knew long ago, right? Yeah. Oh, okay, we're good. Okay.
Yeah, not you.
Oh, man.
Fun
time.
Yeah. And I'm sure he would agree with you, too, that the TV people are the most egotistic. I mean, look, you're on TV because you want to be on TV. I don't think anybody has been on television who fought it. No, I don't want that job. How much does it pay? No, that's a lot of money, but I don't want to be on TV. No, nobody went on TV, didn't want to go on TV. And then the longer they're on it, and it's the fault of viewers, because we act like idiots. I don't, thank goodness, I never have. But there are people that just fall all over them and have your autograph. Even local TV people. You know, I went to to dinner a couple of times with Steve Savard. Steve Savard's wife and my wife have been friends for a long time. So a couple of times we went to dinner, and you go to dinner with Steve Savard. Steve Savard is like bigger than life. This guy, you've seen him, chiseled.
Former football player.
And you know that when he walks in the room, oh, Steve Savard. And you go to dinner, and people, hey, Steve, oh, the card's going to do, you know, they start asking sports questions, even though he's done anchor news and not sports for a long time. And it's got to be, you know, it gets old after a while. I have to do some business. We talk about that later. So Scott Sherman's coming in next hour. In Chesterfield Valley, in the heart of Chesterfield Valley.
It's a mean, so low.
No. That's when I say no. That's when I go down. No, I didn't say down in the valley. That's the cue. Down in the valley. I didn't say that.
Well done, everyone. That was
sorry.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Dan.
Great harmonica.
I'm gonna work on something for a meanie. He's like a meanie, meanie, miney, mo. Remember that thing? Catch a
monkey,
tiger by the toe.
Dang.
Yeah. A meanie, miney, mo. I'm going to work on that. I did come up with a meanie money, and I'm really proud of that. And now they're using it. They're offering a meanie money. You buy something, you get so much of meanie money toward the purchase of something else. It's play money, but it's real money at a meanie's. A meanie money. Fun to say, fun to spend. So go buy something, get some meanie money, buy something else, get some more meanie money, then take your meanie money and